Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by neither of my co-hosts. I guess they're both running a little late, or my switchboard, something's wrong with my switchboard. So, Couture, if you're there and I don't see, okay, Couture just popped up. What's going on, Couture? Hello, Couture. Okay, well, he's not saying anything. He just dropped off, so luckily the other guy just popped up on. Let me put him on. Craig, are you there?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing freaking great tonight, Craig. Ask me why.
Because I was about a minute late.
No, because come Monday or Tuesday, I will be going on another date with Trina Michael, so everything in the world is perfect.
No,
it's a date. Seriously. Anyway, we got our other co-host on the line, Couture. Yeah, hold on. Couture, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, what happened? You were, like, quiet there for, like, a minute.
I don't know if you can hear anything, but I hung up and called back.
Oh, well, at least we can hear you now, so cool. So anyway, I can't believe it. I'll actually give him credit for once. Craig actually came up with a good topic for tonight's show, and there's no way we're going to get to everybody on one show, so we might have to come back to this a little later, but way to go, Craig.
This isn't
my pretty sure
first
we've done this
time.
Topic before.
Yeah, we did. And we did moth leads before.
Oh. Well, we've done like 264 shows, so it kind of all runs together and shit. But
yeah, they do.
Anyway, yeah. So anyway, we're going to be talking about celebrities and pro wrestling, and we'll be talking about some of the greatest ones and some of the worst ones, and just a whole shitload, because Craig sent me something on Facebook that, like, had, like, about a million names on it. So,
well,
we'll have plenty of people to talk about. We are also...
Looks like
you
found a list of the WrestleMania celebrities and copy and pasted it.
And that's just WrestleMania shit. I just kind of glanced at it. I thought it was so long that it had to be everybody, but...
No, it was mostly WrestleMania, and there's a lot of athletes on there as well, but yeah, it's mostly Mania stuff.
That's okay. I got a bunch of them in the vault, so I can come up with something.
Well, like I say, there's so many, I'm sure we won't have any problems then. We are going to be joined in a minute or two by Antonio the Promise Thomas. He wanted to come on and plug some shows he's doing, and hopefully he will be calling in soon. And,
I do not have an answer for him, just to be sure.
Well, you got, like, until he calls to come up with a little crazy, so.
Just introduce him. It's no big deal.
I like the way you do it.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Every time I heard
But before Antonio calls, is there anything we want to talk about before we get into our main subject?
Nothing that comes to mind.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and start. Oh, actually, we are getting a call here, so let me put him on the air. Caller calling from area code 413. Who is this?
D'Antonio. Come on. You don't know my number by now?
No, well, Craig is refusing to do an intro for you, so I was kind of hoping you would introduce yourself.
Why is he refusing to do an intro?
I'm not refusing.
I don't know.
I didn't have time to come up with something.
I'm not worthy of an intro, frankly.
Oh, please.
Honest with you.
You know what? First off, I saw a picture today on the internet. It was a guy in an airport. He was shirtless and doing yoga, waiting for his flight.
Was it DDP?
No, it was not DDP. It was just some rando. Shirt off on a yoga mat. And I thought...
And you thought of me?
I did, actually, because I remember the vignettes from Ohio Valley when you would go to the mall in your gear. And those were some of the greatest vignettes I've ever seen. We laughed and laughed and laughed at you guys.
I would have loved to do a lot more. And I've actually met some comedians who come to a lot of shows up in the New England area, and we're going to collaborate on doing some stuff in the future. So that might not be the last we see of those.
How does one get up the nerve to do this in public?
Oh, it's easy. You just put your gear on and you walk into a mall and you just go up to random girls and try to hump them as they run for their lives, run for the nearest security guard.
Dude, if I was as jacked as Antonio, I'd be walking around everywhere with my shirt off.
That's true.
I don't do yoga in airports, but
right.
I will just drop and do push-ups here and there. I try to do at least 500 push-ups a day. No, I'm serious.
Like, I believe you.
I'm just, I'm at my friend's house watching TV. I'll drop and do some push-ups.
You do 500 push-ups?
But you do 20 an hour, that's 500 a day.
Well, do you wake up at midnight, crank out another 20 or something?
I do. I set the alarm at the top of every hour. Well, look at guys when they go to prison or jail. What do? They
right.
do push-ups. And they come out jacked.
Okay.
So
I don't even know if I could do 20 right now. It's been so long since I did a push-up.
Have you even done 20 in your life?
Okay.
Only push-up Dad's ever seen is in the freezer aisle at the grocery store.
Oh, the push-ups, those are great. I love the creamsicle.
Yeah.
I like the poke.
So, hey, I got this, I got a big show tomorrow. I wanted to come on and plug, and I want to thank you guys for having me on again. And I don't want to clog up too much of your airwaves. Yeah.
And nobody's listening.
But a brutal Bob might be. He said he was going to call in and try
love that dude.
Radio, try to radio bomb my airtime. But I got a New England Championship Wrestling, which has been around since 2000, has their annual birthday bash tomorrow. Their biggest event of the year, and I'm currently their champion. And it's one of the first places that I started working regularly, and being their champion and working for them and representing them means a lot to me, so I want to try to get the word out about New England Championship Wrestling, and for anyone that is anywhere in the New England area can come out to Beverly, Mass. Tomorrow at 7. I'll be in a tag team main event, and the strange stipulation, my title is on the line, but I plan on leaving the NCW champion. And you can go to necw.tv to get info. That is the website. And also check out NECW TV online. It airs Thursday nights here in Boston. But you can check out the show online on YouTube anytime after that. It's only a half hour. You're not sitting there for 3-4 hours DVRing through stuff. You get one or two matches. You get promos. It goes by like a, you know, like a great sitcom. And they just recently made some changes in the presentation and the building that they film it in. So it has a nice old-time wrestling or boxing room with the lighting. And you can live anywhere in the world. Check it out. Just go on your laptop, go on your iPad, type in necw.tv and check it out.
And that New England Championship Wrestling, is that the promotion that's run by Sheldon Goldberg?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, I remember him from the A&E wrestling special. I've seen him on a couple things. I just can't remember.
The Unreal Story of Professional Wrestling. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. But I've heard about them for years and years. It's like I think they're like probably one of the longest running regional indies, you know, that's been out there. I mean,
it is, and the reason why is because they focus on local, homegrown talent. That was one of the first places I started working for before I got to WWE, before I went all over the world, all over the place. Kofi Kingston worked there. The Briscoes worked there, like right 2002, I think, right maybe before they even started working for Ring of Honor, Sheldon brought him in, I think. That was the first place Doug Williams worked in the USA. John Cena, I believe his only independent appearance was for Sheldon back in 2000. And you had Beth Phoenix work there. Johnny Curtis, who obviously is now Fandango. So many guys have gone on to Bobby Fish, Eddie Edwards, worked there, both former champions. Certainly so many people have gone on, local talents that weren't known at the time but then went on to a worldwide stage, have started there and worked there and held the NECW title.
Cool. And besides this show, aren't you in I don't know if y'all just did it or it's coming up, but like, aren't you and Les, or Les is doing another one of his shows in California?
I was in California a couple weeks ago for Wrestling Cares, and actually Les, unfortunately, I didn't advance in the Race for the Ring tournament, but hopefully we can get back out to LA soon. If not for a non-tournament match, then hopefully for next year's tournament. But I also have Les coming in to my Ring Sport Wrestling Gym next weekend, do a two-day seminar, and pretty much sold out for that. And, 2 days, 7-8 hours a day. If anyone out there is listening and lives in the New England area or even outside and wants to make the trek up, hit me up on Facebook or email ringsportprowrestling@gmail.com.
Cool. And before, I know you don't have a lot of time, but before you go, I mentioned to you earlier that we were talking about celebrities in pro wrestling. And before you go, could you give us your favorite celebrity that ever came out and the one you just hated the most?
Oh, man. Favorite is, man, I was really into Mr. T when I was real little, when I was a kid, man. I was a huge A-Team fan. So, I mean, after reading all the things about how much trouble he was to work with, it kind of skews it a little bit. But, man, at the time, I loved Mr. T. I think, you know, for business-wise, I think Floyd Mayweather and obviously above that is Mike Tyson, Donald Trump as well. But those would probably have to be the most successful. Cyndi Lauper, I guess. But my two favorite, Mr. T, and I got to say this, Kevin Federline. I don't know if you remember K-Fed.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Yes, we did.
That was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
He was a natural heel, man. He was like a natural heel manager. And I enjoyed it.
Good bump, too.
Maybe people didn't like him, but I enjoyed it. So, the worst one has to be Steve Rhodes, completely having no respect for the business and no selling the beating that he took.
That's right.
I can't even remember who it was by. Maybe it was Umaga.
That was Umaga.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
That was
Steve-O. Steve-O from Jack.
Yeah, Steve-O. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, I'm sure there are more, but that was just, I don't know, it just kind of, that wasn't cool.
Weren't they supposed to have a match at SummerSlam, and then it got canceled right after their appearance on Raw or something like that?
I think so. They probably all wanted to kill him, and rightfully so. So, what about your guys' favorite?
We got an hour and a half to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't want to rush.
We have a... We have a list just for WrestleMania that's like 1,000 people, and then we still got WCW and TNA. And but before I let you go, Antonio, when you do get together with Romeo and you do these new vignettes that you plan on doing, you need to make one where you guys are challenging Brian Alvarez and Vinny Vincent, and we need to try and get the show back on the road after Big Dave put the kibosh on it. So we need to get that going, and I'm gonna be emailing you and Les about that. Maybe we can like send a little email campaign thing to Brian and get this back on track, because I want this fucking shit to happen. And
let's make it happen, man. Me and Romeo, we're gonna be teaming October 26th. For Pro Wrestling Syndicate, Rahway, New Jersey.
Oh, cool.
Huge card. Those, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard about those shows, but, you know, they have a little bit of everything for the hardcore fan, the casual fan, you know, they bring in the legends, they have the local talent. So we'll be there. We'll be up to some shenanigans. So maybe we'll get something on film and send it out to Brian and me, throw out the challenge again. So
that's very cool. Sounds good. And if you go ahead and Facebook all your plugs to Craig, and we'll read them again at the end of the show.
Yeah, do that. But no, thank you guys, man. Thank you for having me on. NECW.TV, folks, check it out. Look it up, NECW TV on YouTube. This main event, you get a couple guys that you might not see on the indies anymore. Tomorrow night, it's myself and Cliff Wagner Brown against Sean Burke and Jeremy Prophet. And, check it out. The last couple weeks of TV build up to it. And like I said, it's a half-hour show. We all got busy lives. You can sit down, watch it, and know, not have to devote, you know, a fifth of your day to watching wrestling. So
you can do 3 hours of Raw. You can do 30 minutes of the show, easy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, hey, Raw's, I love Raw. I watch Raw every week. But
mm-hmm.
3 hours is long. So this is a half hour. Like I said, it goes by like a great sitcom. And, you know, check it out, NECW.TV. And F Promise Thomas. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, tell me you love me, tell me you hate me. You know,
they could talk about how ugly and unattractive Brutal Bob Evans is.
Now, why you gonna hate on Bob like that?
Hey man, he had a birthday this week, brother. Come on now.
Yeah, he's like, what was 66? I think
60. Yeah.
he's actually younger than me, but somehow he looks 30 years older.
Bob's one of those guys that looked that way when he was like 23.
Right?
I didn't know him when he was 23, but
he's so Baron Von Raschke's gimmick.
Yeah. Remember, hey, Bob is gonna be we get this thing going for next year. Bob is gonna be in Brian and Vinny's corner. Granny is gonna be in our corner. So,
I love it.
You know, that, forget about the match. We need the showdown between those two at some point.
Ooh.
With Granny Spears, Brutal Bob. Or pulls him off the apron, you know.
And breaking up.
Okay. I'm actually, if we could get this show going, one of my matches is to finally have Brutal Bob Evans go against Buddy Wayne.
Ooh, I want to go against Buddy Wayne.
Yeah, me too.
You know who I want to work with, just not on a totally, completely off tangent here, is, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Mike Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's from Alabama.
He's an overweight champion.
Yeah, he's like 60, in his 60s, and he's still working, and he's still phenomenal. And I remember I used to see him on Classics on the old NWA tapings, TV tapings. And he was great. He was just an enhancement guy. But, like, I was watching some interview clips with him. I was like, wrestling needs more guys like this. You know, he's just like, what a worker, man.
I mean, yeah, he was such a great worker that even though he was enhancement talent, Gordon Foley put him over just as much as he would put over the main eventers on that show.
Yeah, you could just tell that all the top guys that worked with him wanted to work with him. They're like, who do you want to work with? Mike Jack. You know, and he was just, I think he had a teaching job like during the week and did that. He did the Crockett shows on the weekend and stuff, and I think Continental too, but man, that guy could go, and he still can. He was at the Charlotte Fan Fest, I think, last month. Fuck. So
cool. Very cool.
Hey guys, talk about celebrities, man. Talk about Brutal Bob, if it's your favorite or your least favorite.
Cool, man. Well, have a good night, Antonio.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you soon.
You too, man.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
And there he goes.
Well,
Antonio,
back to Brutal Bob, Liberty.
Love Brutal Bob. Come on now.
You know, I'm reading this daily update on the site real quick, and this is how low Brian's gotten to the Total Divas thing. The Total Divas taping in Florida that took place a few days ago was for the reunion special, which all reality shows do. You know, reuniting all the cast members who are on the road with each other 4 days a week all year round. Ha ha. That's just petty.
He's a sad, sad little man.
He's a sad, sad little man.
that's funny.
He would be, if he actually met Ariane, the one he's all infatuated about, he would be like, boy gone. or Boy Bye. I guess. Go ahead.
I was going to say our friend the Cancer was on a couple years ago, and he talked about a little trip that him and Mr. Alvarez took to a gentleman's club, and how Brian was very much into the women of color at the establishment. So.
I've known that for a long time too, because I remember one time I went to the strip club. And get this, check out this crew that went to the strip club. It was me, Brian Alvarez, Ben Miller, and Todd Martin got in a fucking bulletproof limo and went to the strip club. And guess Brian was getting dances from the African-American portion of the strippers.
Yes. He's got jungle fever. He's got jungle fever. Okay.
Believe it or not, Todd Martin actually went to the VIP area and got dances there. And
I refuse to believe any of this. One of my favorite stories, it was Brian's birthday, and he was out with Buddy Wayne and a couple of the guys who I'm not going to throw under the bus, but Buddy doesn't care. And they went to a gentleman's club in Oregon, where, no lie, they have a place called the Acropolis, where they have a salad bar and a steak bar. And you can watch women dance nude. But Buddy Wayne was buying dances. And a woman came up to Brian and said, would you like a dance? And he's like, sure. And Buddy says, how much are the dances? And she says, well, they're $20 and $40. And Buddy said, what does $40 get you? He says, well, she says, basically you get a dance, but then you get this hat.
You get a hat.
And so Buddy paid for a $40 dance and made Brian wear the hat the rest of the night.
Did a Jimmy hat?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Just a trucker hat.
Now, real quick, maybe this is just me, and I don't know. I'm not going to a strip club to eat. That's like disgusting.
I'm not
going to eat my porterhouse right by the stage where some woman's got her business hanging out right in my face.
Well,
sometimes
the business looks like the steak.
Yeah, well, that's true. Still.
If you go there in happy hour, you can get like a freaking T-bone and potatoes for like $3. So yeah,
they can keep their T-bone and their potatoes.
I don't know. I'll confess this on the air. I've never been.
Who would suffer and watch porn at the same time? That's gross.
Hey, let's get into our topic for the evening.
I don't go to strip clubs anymore.
I have never been. Swear to God. Never, ever.
I spend too much fucking money when I go to those places. I'm like tapped. And I'm like all upset the next day because I spend all fucking money at the strip club. I just stopped going.
I stopped taking, I started again, but for like about a good 6 to 8 years, I didn't take any plastic with me to Vegas because one night I got drunk. I was given a hit of ecstasy. And I spent 7 hours in the VIP room and ordered $200-$300 bottles of champagne, plus paying for the strippers for the whole time.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was the greatest night of my life, but, yeah, it cost a lot. So I decided I'm never bringing my credit card to Vegas again.
If you could see me sitting here with my mouth open in awe right now.
I say those nights, like when you're younger or something, you know, you go out, like on a Saturday night, go out to a bar or something, and you take $75, $100, and the next day it's all gone. You don't know where it went.
What?
I remember one time I was in Vegas, and I had gone out with some friends. And I just took so much cash with me for that night, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't go crazy. So at the end of the night, I was like, hey, why don't you guys just drop me off at the Club Paradise? And I only had like about on me. So I was like, okay, Ed, be smart. Take a 20, put it in your sock. That'll get your cap. Pair it back to the luck store. Well, apparently I forgot to do that. So I got all these advances and went outside to call a cab. I reached down to my sock to grab my 20. I'm like, oh, fuck me. So I walked all the way from Club Paradise, which is on Paradise Road, all the way to the luck store. Uh-huh. And, yeah, that's But I guess we can go ahead and start into our topic now.
Yes, please.
It's been about 30 minutes.
Let's get out of the strip club.
Okay. I'm gonna start with a very brief one that probably nobody outside of Texas will remember. I don't know, maybe the church seen it, but Kirk, I'm sure Craig, you've heard of the band. You remember the band Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
well, one time, for some reason, they were at the Sportatorium. There is Terry Von Erich, because they're a big Terry Von Erich fan. So after Terry's match, he went outside to celebrate with them, and he kind of handed them the title. And they picked it up. They're all like all holding it up, like, you know, with one hand each, and they had it upside down and took it off. But yeah, that was the Halloween's one of, you know, celebrity appearance in pro wrestling. But I'll go ahead, since it was your idea, Craig. You can start it off.
Well, basically, I remember we did a show a while back on football players and athletes that had made appearances in wrestling. And there's a ton of them throughout the years, and I was thinking, well, gosh, there's a lot of celebs that have actually been involved with wrestling and wrestling angles throughout the years, and thought it'd be a good idea to maybe touch on a few of those. And since we've got our little show here and we haven't done a topic in a while, figured this would be a way to start. And WrestleMania, as Antonio had alluded to, WrestleMania 1, of course, was Mr. T in the tag corner of Mr. Hogan at WrestleMania 1, and then in this reporter's eyes, a horrible match with Roddy Piper. After that, but always enjoyed
it. Decent match. Wasn't wrong
with
it.
Okay, whatever. But Mr. T kind of started it off, him and Cyndi Lauper, and one of the greatest things that came out of this was Mr. T and Hulk Hogan on Saturday Night Live trying to keep a straight face with Billy Crystal.
What you're doing is the Fernando gimmick, right?
I think so. And I just remember the one clip where Billy Crystal was talking about, every time you laugh, your boobs go bongity bongity bongity, you know, back and forth. anyway, so Mr. T, Cyndi Lauper, probably one of the early ones in national pro wrestling.
Hey, you know, that match won the PWR Match of the Year for 1985 that year.
Really?
Yes. I think it was fixed, though.
Yeah. But speaking of, okay, so, you know, Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper and all the celebrities from WrestleMania 1, okay, there have been celebrities in wrestling before, but these were like, this is the one that kind of got the biggest kind of like news, and it's also they're the ones that made it cool for celebrities to want to come out on wrestling.
Yeah, and MTV had a lot to do with this too. So, you know, MTV was really hot at the time. And they got those specials on there, you know, with Hogan and Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper, stuff like that.
Yeah. And, Mr. T was cool. I mean, you know, the boxing match with Piper was
that? What's that so big today? Mr. T's like the most unlikable person on the planet. Jesus Christ, what an asshole he comes off as.
Well, you know, did you ever see the, there was a short-lived TV show. It was like a competition for bouncers. And that's kind of where he got his start.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of the show or anything like that. I just remember Mr. T, you know, basically picking up a little person, and the competition was throw the little person. It was literally a dwarf toss. And I swear to God, and he kind of got his start there.
I don't think what was so bad about him. He was a pussy. He was afraid to fly.
Well.
Yeah, there's a lot of real things like that.
I was talking about his character on the A-Team.
It was B.A. Baracus. It was a joke.
Yep.
Howling mad bird, why you knock me out and get me on this plane, fool?
Oh, that was fucking hilarious. Are you going to go ahead?
Yes. I'm going to go with Eddie Haskell at the first Clash of the Champions in 1988.
Oh, where did you pull that out of? That's amazing.
They had Eddie Haskell was there. He was Ken Osmond. Because you know that back on TDS back then, they did the new Leave It to Beaver. Everybody was grown up. And,
okay.
And so they had the new Leave It to Beaver was starting. So they had Eddie Haskell in there. And he's got his little... He's got his little preppy sweaters on, and of course he interviews Jim Cornette, and he says he's a good friend of Jim Cornette, but why is Jim Cornette listening to the babblings of a senile old bat talking about his mother? And he's always his mother this, his mother that, mother this.
Right.
And Cornette said, she may be senile, but she's still got the money, so let's not say anything about it. And so he says, why don't I come down to Jim Cornette and we'll play a round of tennis or something? And asked his mom to bring a blender out to the jacuzzi for them after they got through playing tennis. So that was all very
exciting. By the way, Antonio the Promised Thomas just tweeted me and said, since I got off the phone with you and Ed, I've done 111 push-ups. Pretty sure he's kidding.
Probably. It's taking me like a week to do 100 and that many push-ups.
I think I've done them.
Probably talking about push-ups. Now I want to go to the freezer section at the grocery store and get some.
Yeah.
Haven't had those in years.
Yeah. You're up, Ed.
All right. Well, I'll go with one a little closer in time, and I'm sure everyone thought that this person would make a fool out of herself in her match. But she actually fucking pulled out a handspring elbow that was greater than the Great Muda's. And that would be
greater than the Great Muda's.
It was. She was fucking more awesome than the Great Muda, dude.
Wow.
The Great Muda got a kid. Yeah,
okay.
Jersey Shore was in full effect at WrestleMania 27. I know y'all hate Snooki just in principle, but can't tell me she wasn't awesome.
That's fine. I wasn't offended.
She looks good for an Oompa-Loompa.
I remember they were doing the vignettes at a bar. She got like fucking drunk and they had to do a bunch of takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our girl. She's very polarizing. You either hate her, or you just love her to death. And I'm not even going to say where I'm at on this, but she's one for the ages, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah. Did she take somebody's spot in that match and they got mad?
No, they got mad at Trish.
Yeah. Oh, at Trish. That's right.
Yeah, Melina
was
mad at Trish
because
Don Morrison
wasn't even ever going to be in the first place. And they thought she took her spot or some stupid shit. What else happened, Melina? That'd be just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, how could she think, you know, if Trish Stratus, I mean, it'd be one thing if it was fucking some random diva, but we're talking about Trish Stratus here, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, not the only Jersey Shore person to be in pro wrestling. The other ones just were in TNA, so very few people know about them. But if I'm not mistaken...
Right.
Didn't they have Angelina? They had J-Wow, of course.
J-Wow.
And then they had the big dude.
Robbie? Robbie, Ricky.
Some douchebag name.
No, this, the one guy is jacked. And I can't remember his name. He's
Ronnie.
Just huge. Ronnie. Okay, Ronnie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was close. It was start with an R. Yeah, Ronnie.
Wasn't
Ricky,
he actually decent
Bobby,
when he came out?
He's in shape. His boulders are shaped. Yeah, he's a scary woman beater. So, or so I think.
Yes. Well, the woman he's beating is pretty hot, because I like that. I thought she was the prettiest out of all of them, actually.
Absolutely.
Even though she was the dumbest bitch in the whole world.
Well.
But,
yeah. Okay.
But we're
moving along.
I guess we're back to you, Craig.
Yes, sir. I actually stumbled upon this one today, I'm not going to lie. But the one I stumbled on was RoboCop rescuing Sting from a birdcage.
Capital Combat in 1990. They were doing the Return of RoboCop, or RoboCop 2 Return of RoboCop was coming out. And I think Turner had like some kind of tie-in there, so they had RoboCop at the... and they had poor Gordon Solie in the back of the arena. When they were... They had RoboCop coming out. It was like... There was like interference in the cameras because it started going all staticky, and... And Gordon looked like he was being abducted by aliens or something like that. I don't know what the deal was. And he had, like, Secret Service men around him. I said, of course, all he's got to be appalled by all this bullshit. Why are you making that poor old man do this?
By that point, he was probably just drunk 24/7, so he probably didn't even know what was going on. But was it actually Peter Weller?
Well, you'd have to be enjoying some of that shit. God.
Was it actually Peter Weller, or was it just some dude in the costume?
I don't know. I don't think it was. I mean, I don't know.
Peter Weller, he was a pretty good actor back in the day as far as being, like, he did a Chuck Norris movie that's fucking awesome. I can't remember the name, but he was actually pretty cool back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he came out when they had this little cage at ringside that for one of the earlier matches, they cornered in one of the cages. And the horsemen came out, and they were going to get Sting, so they threw him into a cage where they couldn't get to him. Brilliant. and then RoboCop came out, and he just lurched his way to the ring.
Sure.
And he bent the bars open, and Sting got out, and the horsemen were... Sid Vicious had fell for RoboCop. That was something.
Oh, my. Yeah, I watched.
And then RoboCop, RoboCop actually made another appearance, like in Puerto Rico, for Carlos Colon's company down there.
Oh, get the fuck out of here! I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
that's funny.
So did Zeus against Abdullah the Butcher. Zeus fought Abdullah the Butcher in Puerto Rico.
You know what's funny about RoboCop? RoboCop reminds me of the Ultimate Warrior, because everybody nowadays will fucking bag and say how RoboCop sucks, but when that first movie came out, that shit was cool. I remember. I liked it.
I think they're doing a remake. Somebody's doing a remake of it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I think I heard that. Yeah. So yeah, that was a good one. But you need to weigh in on that, because it's your turn.
Okay. I'm going to go with Bob Uecker, WrestleMania 3 and 4.
He was tremendous.
He was awesome. First off, he's awesome. I remember he was on Mr. Belvedere. Was that the show?
Yeah, okay. Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, and Mr. Belvedere. But he was really awesome in those Major League movies as the announcer.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, those are like, yeah.
So just a bit outside.
Euchre's like William Shatner. I don't know how you cannot like the man. I mean, it's just like impossible. I can't understand it. And he was he'd be in there, he'd do a commentary with Jesse and Gorilla. He sees Moolah and says, the moon is full, so am I, and I got to go get with Moolah, so he leaves. And then he said, WrestleMania 4, he's searching all over for Vanna White. And then they asked Vanna White about Bob Uecker, and she says, who? And didn't know who that is. And said, Dean says, I don't think Vanna is looking forward to seeing you. She didn't even know who you are. He said, well, of course she knows me. It was some guy sent me some letters. Some guy named Vance White, and that's who I'm looking for. I didn't understand it, but it was funny the way he said it. But anyway,
I love the way he sold when Andre the Giant grabbed him by the throat and started shaking him around.
That's right. He's in the Hall of Fame now, isn't he? He went in a few years ago. Were you there live when he was in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I was there. I think he was the Arizona one. But yeah, he was pretty cool. He gave a good little speech, and yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I like Bobby.
That's Craig.
You're up.
Your turn.
All right. Well, I'll go back to WCW, and I'll even go for a more absurd one than RoboCop. And that was from Chucky came out on the big screen and started challenging Rick Steiner. And
God.
I don't even remember what he was challenging him to, but it was fucking funny as shit seeing fucking Chucky of all people cutting promos on WCW.
That was the most absurd thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think which of the Chucky movies would come out. It might have been Bride of Chucky or Spawn of Chucky or I don't know, something Chucky.
I love Bride of Chucky because you get Jennifer Tally and her big fucking boobies in that movie. But anyway, your thoughts on Chucky, Craig?
It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Seriously, what were you going to do with
what?
That?
What? Why would he fucking hit him on this painter?
Henry Steiner challenged him to come to the ring.
Exactly.
I think he's going to have Geppetto behind him, you know, doing the strings or something. I don't know. Hey,
well,
I found
the
hero.
Do
what?
Why was he there? Well, I forgot. What was the story?
They were just promoting his movie or something.
Oh.
Yeah, some tie-in. Boy.
Anyway, I found I found RoboCop is coming out in 2014, the remake.
Mm.
It's got Gary Oldman, Michael Keaton, and Samuel Jackson in it.
That sounds horrendous.
So, yeah.
Okay.
We're a big budget deal, so. Forward to that.
I don't know why they haven't been able to do anything with Shaquille O'Neal. And yes, he is a basketball player, but he has briefly gotten involved in WWE stuff. And the thing I watched today was it was a tag match. It was Jericho and Sho against Crime Time, and Shaq was a special guest referee on Raw. And at the end, it ended up with Shaq and Big Show hands around each other's necks. Shaq pushed him onto the ropes and then gave him a shoulder tackle, and it was money. And how come they haven't been able to put this together after all these years is really sad. They need to do this because the crowd was absolutely going crazy.
Was the rumor that they were going to be riffing at WrestleMania a couple years ago?
Yes, that was the rumor.
It's one of those things where I think Shaq kind of let it leak and they got mad and just said, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't fucking Vince, like, when he was all pissed off one time, like, go backstage and all of a sudden, just out of the blue, Shaquille was sitting there, like, I guess, talking to the wrestlers or fans. And didn't, like, Vince try to fire him? And he's like, you can't fire me, I'm Shaquille O'Neal.
I have no idea.
Well, I guess the vault's a little lacking right there.
Yeah.
He was also at he came out with Hogan during Hogan's debut in WCW against Ric Flair back in 1994.
I think so.
Yeah. But he's one of those, he's a big wrestling fan. His kids are fans and stuff like that, so.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's listening to the show just tweeted me saying that you could actually hear Chucky's laugh going on for weeks before he came out.
Yeah,
really?
Like laughter, like, yeah. Just hear laughter all of a sudden, and then pick the brain surgeon and resign her to debut against, I guess. I don't know.
That's a sick believer.
Well, whose turn is it, Chris?
Good turn.
I'll go with one name I mentioned earlier was William Shatner. Just for the when he did the interest music on Raw, that sold it for me. I don't care what anybody says. And he was on Raw in 1995, and he gave Jerry Lawler a monkey flip.
Yeah.
Yeah,
January
I remember 9. That. He was promoting his comic book at the time.
I think there was a new show called Tech Wars that he was involved in. He was promoting. It was on USA.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a TV show, Anakin. That's right.
Yeah, I think it was. It was one of those shows that got canceled like during the commercial break of the debut episode or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that was on January 9th. It was on January 9th, 1995.
How do you know that? You got that written in front of you?
January 9th, 1995, he was on Jerry Lawler's King's Court on Monday Night Raw. Yes, I do have it in front of me, so hush.
You got cheat sheet.
Betcha. Peter Store.
Well, he's looking.
Yeah,
come on, get him a break.
Come on now. Yeah, I just pulled that out of the air.
Then
I knew that.
Shatner did the, what's the thing he does, the price negotiator?
Yeah, dude,
oh,
when he was line. Like, all, he was kind of free frame.
I think it was like Miz and Jericho or something, and it was like CM Punk and Luke Gallows or something, they were trying to figure stuff out, and Shatner's just like talking to the camera or something like that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, he keeps saying freeze frame because they're just supposed to like freeze and look at the camera.
William Shatner's such a great man. He's awesome.
Oh my goodness. You're up, brother.
Okay, well I'll go with another WCW one. And this one was talked about for weeks coming. But no one believes this one. This is like the one guest appearance. No one believes it. It's just the cat talking shit. And then one day at one pay-per-view, fucking James Brown fucking showed up and danced on WCW pay-per-view. And it was awesome and glorious.
Yeah, that happened. And actually, that's another thing on WCW as far as the day before, they put out the word that James Brown was going to be on the pay-per-view. So they didn't just... It wasn't just like a big surprise.
Yeah, but I don't think no one believes it.
Well, it didn't matter if they believed it or not. They said he was going to be there.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, he was awesome. I mean, the cat's never been a good wrestler, but I loved him in WCW just for the gimmick of, the dancing with the shoes and the cape and... That part of his act was, like, fucking awesome. And he could cut good promos. He was, I actually liked him on the mic. And, but when he had James Brown come on, that was fucking, fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was irritating as hell. I blame Eric Bischoff for giving him a push. It's horrible. Although, it was pretty funny when he was the commissioner. You know, they had the Young Dragons, and they were, like, hiding. They jumped out like ninjas, trying to get him, but he hit him crushed off and beat him up.
Yeah, that was like, what, the boy's got the Pink Panther?
I don't know if it was a Pink Panther. It just looked like one of those old karate movies where you got ninjas jumping out from behind the tree or something.
Yeah.
Well,
the
Pink
Panther
had like,
yeah,
he had like a manservant butler who was Asian, and he would always like attack. You know, right out of the blue, he attacked him. Yeah, so I marked out for that, and that was fucking funny as shit when that happened.
Yeah. The Inspector Clouseau would come back, you know, from being on call or whatever, and he'd walk in and he'd go, the inspector has had a very rough evening. I'm calling off of the attack. And then from out of nowhere, you know, he would break through the window or dive from the canopy bed and attack him to keep him on his toes of the gimmick. It was tremendous.
Yeah.
I never understood the Pink Panther. I thought it was stupid.
Oh, it was great. Anyway.
It was awesome. I love the Pink Panther movies. Wow. And I was young when they came out, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, on the Pink Panther tip, I'm going to throw out an inspector named Leslie Nielsen, who was looking for the missing Undertaker in 1993.
Four.
No, it says 3 right in front of my screen.
Well, those are wrong.
Just kidding.
It was 1994.
1993
was Lex Luger against Yokozuna at SummerSlam, and 94 was The Undertaker against The Undertaker at SummerSlam.
Well, once again, my internet has failed me. 94, and they did kind of a Pink Panther kind of spoof where Leslie Nielsen from The Naked Gun, Spy Hard, and all those movies looking for The Undertaker who was missing during an episode of Raw. And I liked that kind of really dumb humor, so I loved it.
I'm appalled that ever went to a Naked Gun film at the movie theater.
Really?
What a bunch of stupid bullshit. I'm embarrassed I want to see something like that.
Wow, you
guys. I remember the one that where they had like Anna Nicole Smith and they're doing like a shot that starts at like her heels and they start going up her legs and then you get to her knees and then it goes up and up and then you get to her knees again and then it goes up and
up. She says, is this some kind of bust? And he says, yes, very impressive.
Yes. Exactly.
It was.
And he and Priscilla Presley were having sex and they were both in like full condoms wearing
yes.
like big oh god. And then Reggie Jackson tried to kill the queen.
And he might be a murderer. He might be just a fucking just biggest douchebag in the whole world. But O.J. Simpson was
yeah.
fucking awesome in those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember
George Kennedy was great.
The very last scene, O.J. goes over the ramp at the baseball stadium and he crashes to the pavement below and it looks like he's squished. He's like, oh my God. And then like a marching band comes walking by and they march over him. And then the street sweeper and then the rolling the paver comes behind that. Oh, tremendous.
Yeah. I remember at the end of the Undertaker thing, it's just George Kennedy came up and said, you close the case. The case is closed. And he was standing on the closed case.
Right. I didn't say it was good. I thought it was funny.
But they were good.
Yeah.
Somebody from the sports world that I thought was actually made a decent professional wrestler was Kevin Green from the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, he had his first match. It was one where he and Mongo McMichaels went against Ric Flair and Arn Anderson at that the one Great American Bash show. And they did the big turn with Mongo, which I thought was awesome, despite it was Mongo and Michael rejoining the Four Horsemen. I thought he was made a pretty good wrestler. I mean, he only had like 3 matches, I think, or 4. Because the next year he had, it was he and Piper and Ric Flair against Hall and Nash and X-Pac. At I think Slamboree, and then he had the revenge match against Stevie and Michael. Then in '98 he had a pretty good match against the Giant at like the Bash of the Beach pay per view. But I thought he made a pretty good pro wrestler.
The first one was awesome. Was like against Flair and Anderson.
Yeah.
Okay, stop right there though. It was Flair and Anderson. If you watch that match, Flair, the Ring General, walking around telling everybody what to do and when to do it. Just totally taking charge of that match.
While he was telling them, Arn was grabbing him and throwing him.
Exactly.
It was like a snap mirror or something where you can tell he's like, you know, he's kind of like putting him in, and you know, he's doing it himself, kind of.
Yeah.
I said, oh God, when they first met him, I said, oh God. These two guys are going to be Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. The Great American Bash of all things. I was like so disgusted.
Right.
And then, hey, they actually won, and it was a great match. And they had the big turn, so good stuff.
Yep, there was nothing wrong with that
match. I
always
worry about when, like, a football player, I don't want to watch any football player beat Ric Flair or Arn Anderson. That's just like against nature or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, sacrilegious.
Area.
Now, Stephen Michael, now he was horrible.
He was horrible at everything. Wrestling, commentate. I wanted to kill, I love animals, but I wanted to kill that fucking dog.
Oh, that he dressed up every week and introduced?
Yes. Okay, buddy. I want to stomp on him in his stupid little Mexican hat or whatever. God damn, that was...
I think his dog was Mexican.
God damn.
Yeah, he was so good.
Michael, he was so obnoxious. God almighty. And then he's on there with Bischoff, who's just as obnoxious, especially during that Nitro era when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, giving out the WWF results on the other channel and shit like that. And
yeah, what's up?
Did Stephen and Michael say, this ain't the Kitty Cat League like it's on the other channel. So, okay, shut up.
Yep.
Yeah. Another good example of never bringing your wife into the business. Stephen and Michael.
Yeah, so end up with Stone Cold.
And get beaten.
Oh, shh. Supposed to know about stuff like that.
She's hot for an old lady.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're up, Eddie.
All right, well, somehow I got distracted and forgot what I was going to say. But I know who I was going to pick. Actually, I just forgot again. So I'll just go real quick right now with my favorite performance at a WWE show, because, you know, they've always had people come sing Godless of America or the Star Spangled mm-hmm. Banner. But, and I'm sure you guys will guess the connection, but Willie Nelson, that one time he came on WrestleMania, I don't know, like 7, was fucking, okay. That was fucking just awesome. That was one of the best performances ever. Him, and I'll throw out to this, Aretha Franklin was fucking awesome. Mm. Actually, I don't think she wanted to be there, but Aretha Franklin and Willie Nelson, by far, the two greatest performances. The old black blind guy, he was pretty good too, but they were like two of the best as far as you know, their scene.
What about Tito's sister, Areva McIntyre?
Dude, yeah. Right.
Yeah, I bet you out of Aretha and Willie, I bet you both of them would pass the coach. You know what I mean?
I want to know who dressed Willie Nelson at that appearance. He had on the Hitman shades. He had on a Hulkamania shirt. He had a fake belt around his waist. He had, like, a fucking warrior tassels. He had, like, a bandana with a Macho Man on it or something like that. He looked like a homeless person. Well, he always looks like a homeless person, but he looked even more, you know?
He got high. Uh-huh. He got high. He walked by the merchandise stand, and he just went to town.
I just imagine somebody in the back just dressing him.
Sure.
Probably Vince.
I would pay to see McMahon dress Willie Nelson. I would pay money to see that.
Well, you know what? That brings me to who I was originally going to say before I forgot, because you hear the story like after the appearance. But in my opinion, the person who stole the show at WrestleMania was Liberace when he came out with the Rocket and he started dancing around and having a good old time. And as far as paying money, I would pay $1 million to see Vince McMahon. So Liberace had no idea what to do. Vince McMahon did that dance, the whole act, and showed Liberace what to do out there. And I would love to see Vince McMahon showing Liberace how to dance.
He had the little bell because he was the timekeeper.
Yeah.
Remember? He had the little bitty bell.
Yeah.
Billy Martin was out there drunk as Cooter Brown.
Yeah. But Liberace was like, he was like the, wait, this is like, I mean, nowadays I guess it's kind of cool to be gay. You know what I mean? But back then it wasn't.
Sure.
But somehow Liberace got to get away with being like the gayest person in the whole world.
Well, just look at him. I mean, how could you not like the guy?
I know, he had some awesome bling and he was cool as shit, dude. Like I say, I think he like actually stole the show as far as WrestleMania 1.
I bet you his parties are fabulous.
I thought that was such a screwy thing. I kind of understand why they did it, but I think that was Muhammad Ali for the referee, and then he's outside the ring.
Sure, special ring enforcer.
Yeah. And I guess they didn't trust him, and so they put Pat Patterson in there, who he did that one, and
He, Fat Passion also did the Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow match.
Right.
Really? He was the referee for that match?
Yeah. They weren't taking no chances. They wanted everybody in there to be able to know, you know, to handle things, I guess, in case somebody got lost.
Well, he was the one. He is the guy. I mean, as far as putting the match together, he might be the greatest guy ever do. I mean, look at all the Royal Rumbles he's done. I mean,
the thing,
he's
the one that put the Warrior and Hogan together at that WrestleMania 6, which I think is an awesome match.
Yeah.
That
was great. So, mine. Here's one that I really think they dropped the ball on. WrestleMania 25, Mickey Rourke came out and punched Jericho. And this was after the movie The Wrestler had come out, and Vince McMahon wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. And brought Mickey Rourke in, and it wasn't even an angle. It was just him showing up and punched out Jericho.
No, they were doing an angle on TV and stuff, weren't they? Jericho was calling him out.
But that's it. They could only they got him, and come on, when he was doing the movie The Wrestler, he was in quote unquote character at all times. Learned the lingo, he learned to work, and they couldn't throw a match together with him and Jericho.
Well, he's also not the easiest person to work with.
Well, maybe not.
But he did an interview kind of like talking about it. It wasn't even on Raw or on the WWE, but I remember him doing some kind of thing kind of talking
about Larry
King,
maybe. I've been on Larry King or something like that.
Yeah.
I also remember that it somehow, some way, one of the worst promo guys ever, even though he's one of the greatest wrestlers ever, Ricky Steamboat, who was always horrible on the microphone, somehow did a promo thing with Jericho and cut like the greatest promo of his life and cut this awesome money promo. I mean, that thing was fucking awesome between him and Jericho.
That whole thing got taken down for me because they had that stupid 3-on-1 match with Piper and Steamboat and Snuka when they chose have like Steamboat against Jericho or WrestleMania.
Yep.
Instead of dragging out Snuka and Piper, who we see all the time anyway. Steamboat ain't wrestled since 1994, you know, and he was one of the best wrestlers on that show. Thank God. That still pisses me off they didn't do that singles match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things like in hindsight.
Didn't they do it later on, like on Raw or the next pay-per-view?
They did it on the next month, like a Backlash or something, but they did that awesome 10-man tag the next night on Raw that was better than any of the matches Steamboat did when he came back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was fucking awesome.
Vince McMahon and the WWF didn't want anything to do with the wrestler until it came like this critically acclaimed film with a possible Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like it now.
Yeah, The Wrestler was an awesome movie. It was an awesome movie until fucking Landstorm had to ruin it for me. Never forget over that. Well, I actually thought it had a happy ending until damn Landstorm had to ruin it. Then it became the most depressing movie ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I never, I went to the theater with Brian and Vinny and Whit and I think my wife went as well, but I actually got ill and never saw the ending until it came out on DVD like months later. I had to run out of the theater to throw up.
When did you become ill?
I might have been...
You get the hot dog right out of that thing. Didn't you? The display hot dog, that's the one you ate.
Well, here's what happens. When Brian, when we get together and go out, Brian always wants to eat as much as possible. And and you know, that's what we do. He, in fact, texted me today with great joy, exclaiming that the Never Ending Pasta Bowl is back at the Olive Garden, and we've got to go. So, anyway, that's probably what happened. Yeah. Anyway, you're on your trip.
Is it my turn?
Yes, sir.
Well, one of the more famous ones, but Mike Tyson, you know, in 98.
Sure.
Thought he obviously was a big part of that whole explosion, like WWF taking off in 98. He was a big part of that with the thing with Stone Cold at the day after the Royal Rumble at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. He's still one of the, I think, one of the best celebrity involvement. I mean, Stone Cold. And then he joined DX. I guess it was all the whole time was going to be a swerve. And he just, another guy, they said, well, they did say he was going to be the guest enforcing referee, but I basically thought he was going to be inside the ring, but he wasn't. So, but yeah, Mike Tyson.
I just remember getting to see his Hall of Fame induction, and I don't know what the fuck he was talking about. But it was awesome. But yeah,
who's more sane, he or Bob Backlund?
Tyson, actually. Pretty close, though. Pretty close. You also got to throw in. You also got to throw in Mad Dog Vachon because he was kind of lost in his thing.
That was an angle that kind of turned it around for WWE. You know, because they were losing to Nitro every week, and that angle with, like, I can still see him and Stone Cold trying to get at each other, and Vince pushing him back, yelling, "You ruined it! You ruined it!"
And it's also just giving him the finger, though. And Vince looks like he's going to have a heart attack, and he's screaming at the guy. And
he's
trying to get it.
He's dying everywhere.
Yeah.
And then they go to the, then they, right at the end of the show, they went to the little thing where they were trying to calm Tyson down backstage, and he just says, "Come on, you faggot." Talking to Steve Austin just right there on TV. Oops.
I just remember the post-interview where he's talking about Cold Stone.
Yeah. Was that a beer or something? Oh, ice cream truck.
Yeah.
Oh, I know something else. One time they asked him about his favorite wrestler, he starts going off about Bruno Sammartino. And, you know, they're like, at the time, they're like, but yeah, Tyson was great.
Yep. You're up, Edward.
Oh, I am? Well,
yes,
I'm going to go with, another newer one. And it's probably the best, even though Shatner was great, the best celebrity host on Raw by far was Mr. Price is Right. And
Bob Barker
was fucking awesome. That skit with like Jericho, where Jericho doesn't want to play around, and he finally gets like Jericho to kind of say a number, and he's all one. And that was awesome when he beat up Chavo. That was awesome. I mean, Bob Barker was just, that was fucking awesome.
He won a Slammy for that, I think, didn't he?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, also on The Price is Right, the new host, Drew Carey, was actually involved in wrestling as well, and was in a he was in the Royal Rumble, wasn't he?
Yes, I was there live.
Yeah, he was like the only one in there. I guess by the time he got to the ring, everybody had eliminated themselves. So he was just kind of in there, like, all happy and celebrating, and then Kane's music and pyro went off, and he got scared, and
he opened his head, and he left. And then the Honky Tonk Man came in. And I think Kane hit the Honky Tonk Man with the guitar.
Yeah, go back to Bob Barker.
Put him in the Hall of Fame. That's so stupid.
Bob Barker was absolutely
tremendous. I know we're talking about the Hall of Fame here, but still.
I think I was there for that one, too.
Probably. Bob Barker was just a tremendous host of Raw. I mean, he had Brian going for weeks talking about Bob Barker, Bob Barker, Bob Barker. Just Yeah, he was awesome.
He was great.
Okay, let's see. October 25th, 1998, Motley Crue performed on Sunday Night Heat. They did Girls,
Sunday
Girls,
Night
Girls.
Heat.
That's what it says.
Oh, it just sounded weird. Well, Sunday Night Heat back then was actually probably a hot show. So,
yeah.
It wasn't as bad
they
as
did,
it
They did Girls, 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 and they did Dr. Feelgood. And we had one debuting Kest as their bodyguard slash roadie when he threw a fan off the stage.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
And then Test became a pro wrestler and slept with Stacy Keibler.
As far as performances go, that was a pretty good one as far as like a rock band.
I still, and I'll stand by this forever, Kid Rock, as much as I don't like his music that much, he puts on a heck of a performance. And when we saw him at Mania a few years ago, I was blown away by how good he was live.
He was awesome, but the main thing I remember is fucking Sonny trying to get all the attention.
Oh, yeah. For the battle.
I remember that was that match where you had these returning divas that most people didn't know who they were or that they were even there. Because they were too busy with the Kid Rock thing. I mean, I think Corey Wilson was there, so it was the first time she had been there in years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was
like Joy Giovanni was on in there.
Oh, yeah. She was one of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, whose turn is
it? Oh, it's my turn. I'll go with, here's a good one. Art Donovan at the King of the Ring 1994 on commentary. I'm so much call him as, he's more of like a little sports celebrity, not like a real celebrity. But
okay.
Every time they would come out and he would say, "Hey, Gorilla, how much does that guy weigh? Hey, how much does that guy weigh? Hey, who's the guy with the flag on his shirt? Who's that? What's the deal with that guy?" Pretty soon they just started ignoring him, and they wouldn't say anything. "Hey, who's the girl?"
That's awesome.
He's just like this senile old man, and it was like one of the worst commentary jobs, of all time. Anybody ever remembers that, but, yeah, how much does he... "Hey, there's Yokozuna. How much does that guy weigh?" No? "Who's the guy with the flag on his shirt?" "Oh, that's Lex Luger. We only pushed him, hard for, the last year." You don't know his name. Speaking of, kind of old men and, what happens when you get older, I was very sad to read about Nick Bockwinkel this week having Alzheimer's. That's very sad.
Yeah.
I think Dave had kind of hinted about that on one of the shows weeks ago or weeks ago.
He mentioned that there was a thing in the Observer this week about him. He was a great talker. I mean, he was a real smart guy. He used to see stuff like that. Oh,
yeah,
King of the Ring 94, they went to, they're doing the whole campaign, the New Generation campaign back then for the WWF. They're showing video of Hulk Hogan and Iron Sheik, and they're showing it in black and white. It's the old stars, and we got all these new stars here. And then they go to an interview with the governor of Maryland, and Todd Fingo asks, "Who's your favorite wrestler?" He says Hulk Hogan.
Oops.
And I think they immediately went back to the ringside. So. This is right when Hulk Hogan's going to debut for WCW.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, I'm going to go with one that he actually he was the big deal. The big deal was seeing the Big Show in diapers, And that would be Aki Bono when him and Big Show had the sumo match at WrestleMania. And Aki Bono was famous for being a sumo champion in Japan, and then just for being fat. And then he's fought in Pride, and he wrestled for like New Japan. And he is extremely huge. And I recently just saw him in a match. It was day 9 of the G1 Climax. They had a special 6-man match. And he was part of a team with Ibusu, or Busa, or whatever. And let's see, himself and Sakuraba, who was the famous Pride fighter. And I saw Aki Bono receive the hot tag and run fucking wild. And it was so fucking awesome and horrible at the same time. It just blew my fucking mind.
I feel bad for Big Show having to be involved in something like that.
Well,
that's embarrassing.
A little bit.
Remember when Big Show was doing the he was doing the imitations?
That was in maybe like 2000. He was a showster. Just like Hulk Hogan or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he wrestled Hogan as Hulk Hogan. Or he wrestled somebody when he was doing Hulk Hogan.
I think he wrestled Kurt Angle.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Wrestled Kurt Angle, yeah. Speaking of Kurt
Very
Angle, that's all, and speaking of celebrities, you know, I just watched that Pain and Gain with The Rock the other day. It's a decent movie, and
sure.
He has a fight scene with Kurt Angle when he's in prison, so...
Oh, interesting.
Actually, I didn't know Kurt Angle was in that movie.
He just got like a
little
cameo in
something.
It. No, they wouldn't have.
You think they would.
Hulk Hogan never says anything when he's on somebody's show.
That's true. Or video
That's
game.
Right, like this morning, like they're having the reason Trina Michaels is in town is because she's doing the River City Wrestling Show tomorrow. And to promote the show, the promoter got her on the morning show on the rock station, the Billy Madison show, to promote the show. And I think they might have mentioned RCW like once, and the whole rest of that almost hour was just the three guys just trying to convince her to take off her top.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
What they talk about for the rest of the interview? Bukkake or something?
Like DP and other things.
Okay.
Well, that's nice.
Speaking of Trina Michaels, since I gave Antonio the chance to plug a show, we might be joined by her getting ready to plug a show in about 15 minutes. So, have an intro ready, Craig.
I got nothing, brother. Jeez. Okay, so... WrestleMania 5, the guest on Piper's Pit was Morton Downey Jr. Morton Downey Jr. was a loudmouth. Oh, that's right. Brother Love was on there too. He was a loudmouth talk show host way before Jerry Springer back in the day.
Chain smoker,
and,
too.
Yeah, chain smoker. He was infamous for saying that he was a victim of a race
hate
beating
crime.
Or yeah, hate crime. Thank you. And he had been drugged into a bathroom, or so the story goes, and beaten up. And they painted a swastika on his forehead, except the swastika was backwards, like he had done it himself in a mirror. Oops. So anyway, it was a big sham. Anyway, Morton Downey Jr. was being loud, obnoxious, and chain-smoking, and Piper had asked him to please put the cigarette out, don't smoke on my show. He's blowing smoke in his face, and it all came to a crescendo when Roddy Roddy Piper grabbed a fire extinguisher and blasted him in the face with it. And we had never seen anything like that before, and it was pretty darn funny.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like this, I liked it. I thought it would laugh my ass off.
Yeah. Because you finally saw the loudmouth get his comeuppance, you know?
He also had Run-DMC doing the WrestleMania rap on that show.
He did, didn't he?
Right.
But they weren't as good as Tom Pepa.
Oh, that's right. What a man. That's funny that Contreras' steel trap of wrestling knowledge just blows me away, how you remember stuff like that.
I got the gift.
Everybody's got something. Here's his useful knowledge. Well, you're going to be on Jeopardy. Pro wrestling for 100.
More like useless knowledge.
Yeah.
Useful knowledge as if you can get like a little, you can make a little money with it or something.
Right.
Useless knowledge.
It turned out to be very useful at Brian Alvarez's wedding when the big topic of discussion was who the Monkey Brothers wrestled at the second Crockett Cup.
I was appalled you called me for that. A man's wedding. You're talking about the Crockett Cup. There's not been any hot-looking bridesmaids or something for y'all to mess around with.
Well, they still remember, so I had to take action.
Speaking of Katrina, you're out, brother.
Oh, not so much. I'm not going to say this is a great one, but this is one of the more famous ones with David Arquette winning the world title, the WCW title.
Boy.
I don't care what anybody says. That movie, that Ready to Rumble, is a fucking hilarious movie. If you'll go and watch it. It was funny. It wasn't that bad. It's like every movie that has like a wrestler or something in it is... It's automatically deemed bad. I mean, I like watching those movies just because I like, it's kind of like I like a cool thing, like to see, like a John Cena in a movie with Danny Glover or something like that, you know?
It's just, buddy cop film.
It's just so weird, I like watching it. You know, like Triple H or somebody like that. I've been meaning to watch, like, they got on my Xbox here, they got like 12 rounds reloaded, it's on Randy Orton. I've been wanting to check out. Yeah, I did. I like watching stuff like that. The Miz and the Marine. I got to go watch that.
My son was watching Knucklehead with the Big Show the other day, and he was laughing and laughing and laughing. And I stepped in and watched about 15 minutes of it, and maybe the 15 minutes I saw was just extra good, but it was kind of funny. I think I'll go back and watch it.
Yeah, I like stuff like that. I was reading today that the WWE Films finally bought into the movie that The Rock's going to do. So,
there you go. About time.
Yeah. But the David Arquette thing, I mean, a lot of people didn't like it. You know, that was the whole Vince Russo deal. And they said it was, regardless of if he won the world title or not, that wasn't going to matter when it came to that company. The company is going down anyway, I think. I just maybe sped it up a little bit, but I mean, it wasn't going to matter one way or another. The title didn't mean anything at that point, so.
True.
And hey, something got people talking, and this was a time when the WCW TV was so bad it was entertaining. So, I couldn't help but laugh.
But the best thing that he ever did, though, was years later when he was in the audience for a Raw. And he had a sign that said, former WCW champion.
Forgot about that. Yeah, that was tremendous.
Well, he guessed those were Raw, and he was like, he was on something. And my God, he was on, he was either drunk or high or something. Something was wrong with him.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was a good guy. You know, all that money he made, he gave to the widows of Brian Pillman and Owen Hart. I think Darren Drysdale too. You know, donating money to them. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been in some good stuff. So he's not too bad. The thing that I'm thinking of, I can't fucking think of the guy's name, but and it didn't even happen on like Raw or Nitro. It was this is where wrestling was at its hottest. And Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to be like a guest presenter at some fucking award show, TV show, or something. And they play his music, and the guy, I can't think of his name, I think his name his first name is Dick something. But he was on news radio. He was a like blonde, nerdy guy.
Andy Dick,
that's right, Andy Dick, they play Stone Cold's music, and he comes walking down the aisle, all Stone Cold moving, Andy Dick just fucking runs and fucking jumps on fucking Stone Cold, and Stone Cold just keeps fucking walking in the ring, like, kind of no-selling, and he's spinning around Stone Cold, and finally goes, like, flying off, and it was fucking awesome. I think he got hurt, too.
Was it as good as the time when Johnny Fairplay jumped on Danny Bonaduce and he got a power bomb on the stage and he broke his teeth?
Yeah, he got dropped face first on the stage. Yeah, that was no good.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up Johnny Fairplay, but if you look in the archives of our shows, go back and listen to the Johnny Fairplay interview. That was one of the more fun interviews we've ever done.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Remember when
Brian had to interview him a week later?
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Remember when the guy, what was the guy's name? It was on Mad TV. What was his name?
Will,
was Will Sasso.
Will,
and,
yep.
Will Sasso, yeah.
And he calls Bret Hart the U.S. title against Roddy Piper. Because Bret Hart went on the show on Mad TV, and he went to business for himself and shot on everybody. Put him in the sharpshooter.
Right.
That was so stupid.
But he was awesome, though. Will Sasso was
awesome.
And he's done like three or four things that were all good.
Ed, it's your turn.
It is? Okay.
Sure.
I'll go with a guy who caused me to like mark out hysterically when he came out. And that was a TNA when Gary Coleman came running out and took a fucking guitar shot from Jeff Jarrett wearing a cowboy hat, a big ass fucking cowboy hat that probably had like a lot of fucking.
That was WCW.
It was WCW?
Oh,
yeah. No, that's right, because it was with that 70s guy. That's right. Yeah. Well, anyway, I got the company wrong. Sorry.
The 70s guy for the 80s sitcom star.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a second.
Yeah.
So for two years, do I get to rib you that you didn't know which promotion that happened in?
No, because it's not as funny as the Strike Force being Craig
or the
Robert Morton or whatever, you know. That was just
Robert
an honest
Morton.
Mistake. It happened.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, dude, he combined Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson one time.
Yep, Robert Morton. He's the new Texas champion.
Well, you know, Robert Gibson's brother is named Ricky.
You
mind those, and it'll be okay to get mistaken.
I'll do that next time.
Yeah, but
okay.
I've never heard of Ricky Gibson. So.
Jerry Borish said the old Gary Coleman was a fucking nightmare.
You don't say.
Can't take him to the toy store to look at trains or something.
Yeah, he went to get hit with the guitar, and he had the big towel wrapped around his head so he wouldn't...
Oh, yeah, he had like a roll of toilet paper under his cap or something like that.
Under his hat, yeah. And once he got hit, the thing fell out and rolled.
What a hideous place WCW was to be in there. My God.
It's funny, though, because, you know, back when Different Strokes was on, and even before, like, he kind of had done, like, some, like, talk shows where he was just this tiny little smart-ass little kid. I thought he was going to grow up to be like the greatest fucking movie star ever because he was just so fucking awesome when he was young. And then, you know, he went crazy or whatever. And
I thought the big breakout hit was going to be when he was in The Kid with the Broken Halo.
Hmm.
But it didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's
he
what
was
all
awesome.
Those kids, all those old child stars are all cute when they're smaller. When they get older, they just, ugh. Away with you now.
What are you talking about? He stayed small and looked the same.
He aged, motherfucker. What I mean.
He aged, but he's still the same height and looks the same.
Okay.
Isn't he like a security guard? He gets a security guard and he got into a fight with some black lady because he didn't want to give her an autograph.
He's dead.
he's dead?
Yeah, he's dead. He's no longer with us.
Oh, wow.
Talking about different strokes, him and Dana Plato. They gone.
That's right. Hey, for my next one, do you mind if I read off just the musicians involved in WrestleManias here and okay. get it all out of the way? Is that okay with you, Ed?
That's fine.
Okay, musicians. WrestleMania 3, Alice Cooper. WrestleMania 3 and 23, Aretha Franklin. Ashanti was at WrestleMania 19. Boyz II Men, WrestleMania 15, Cab Calloway. He was a judge for a boxing match at WrestleMania 2. Cyndi Lauper, of course, managing Wendy Richter, WrestleMania 1. Donnie Wahlberg. Yes, Marky Mark, WrestleMania 10, ring announcer.
That's Drowning not Marky Mark.
Oh, that's the other one. I'm sorry.
That's why his name's Donnie.
Yeah, yeah. The other one. His brother.
He's not Donnie. He's Marky Mark.
Drowning Pool, WrestleMania 18. Fantasia. Sang the America the Beautiful, WrestleMania 26. Flo Rida, WrestleMania 28. Gladys Knight, WrestleMania 4. Ice-T performed Pimpin' Ain't Easy for The Godfather and D'Lo Brown at WrestleMania 16. John Legend performed America the Beautiful at WrestleMania 24. Kerry Hilson, WrestleMania 27. Kid Rock, as mentioned, WrestleMania 25. Liberace, WrestleMania 1. Limp Bizkit, I Got Caught in the Mosh at WrestleMania 19, performing Roland for The Undertaker and also a song not WWE-friendly, Crack Addict. Little Richard, WrestleMania 10. Living Color, killed it at WrestleMania 29. Machine Gun Kelly, did not at WrestleMania 28.
Yes,
Michelle Williams. WrestleMania 22, Michelle Williams sang America the Beautiful. Motorhead, performing for The Game and Evolution for Triple H at WrestleMania 17 and also 21. Nicole, 20, WrestleMania 25. Ozzy Osbourne
Nicole
was
who?
In the...
I
want
to know who. Nicole who? There's like a billion Nicole.
Nicole Brown-Kinson?
Scheisenzinger? I butchered that.
Okay,
Ozzy Osbourne, WrestleMania 2.
I still don't know
who
you're talking about.
Ozzy Osbourne was in the corner of the British Bulldogs in WrestleMania 2. P. Diddy performed with Machine Gun Kelly at WrestleMania 28 and also WrestleMania 29. He performed a melody of his own hits. P.O.D. WrestleMania 22 performed Booyaka 619 with Rey Mysterio. Ray Charles, WrestleMania 2, Reba McEntire, America the Beautiful, WrestleMania
8.
It doesn't say. Thank you.
8.
Robert Goulet did O Canada, WrestleMania 6. Run DMC performed the WrestleMania rap at WrestleMania 5. Saliva, WrestleMania 18. Salt and Pepper, WrestleMania 11. Sean Diddy Combs, WrestleMania 28. I think we just went over that because he's also Sean Combs and P. Diddy, whatever. Snoop Dogg, WrestleMania 24 and 27. Willie Nelson, WrestleMania 7. And that rounds out the list.
What was the, what about the band that butchered America the Beautiful at that WrestleMania 14?
Oh, the DX band?
You know,
band?
The DX band?
They're nobody.
They're not forgot Man Mountain Rock doing an accent at them on the guitar.
Man Mountain Rock. Forgot about that fella. Okay, so those were the musical guests at WrestleManias. Contrary, the floor is yours. I'm going to
explain it. List them again. Never mind. I'm sorry. I'll go with Dennis Rodman. He came in and he teamed with Hogan at the Dash to the Beach. And actually had a pretty decent match with he and Hogan against the Giant and Lex Luger. And he was pretty decent for like his first ever match. And then they went to the next year and it was DDP and Carl Malone against Hogan and Rodman. And Rodman fell asleep in the corner on the turnbuckle. Then he had a match with Randy Savage or Road Wild or Hog Wild or whatever it was. It's stupid Sturgis show.
that ended with Savage throwing him in a porta potty and then turning the porta potty over. You see all this stuff come out. And I'm pretty sure it was a real porta potty, you know. I think they just filled it with water or something. It's probably,
I hate it.
You can imagine.
Fucking bikers having their fucking bikes fucking rev up during the match. It's just fucking stupid.
Cool. Yeah, let's take Harlem Heat out there and have them wrestle in front of a bunch of bikers where they're standing on rocks. That's a brilliant thing to do.
Yeah, those were a mess. But speaking of that era, and I'll go with the next one. What was the deal with Jay Leno? Who the fuck did Jay Leno with?
He and DDP against Hogan and Bischoff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Remember they took over the Tonight Show one night and threw him off his own set, and then DDP came out and you know they had the big brawl and Jay Leno then put Hulk Hogan in an armbar.
Prayers are done.
What?
Hot pockets are done.
Oh, sorry, my phone dropped.
Yeah. I hated that. Some of the, yeah, like the Jay Leno thing, that was just, oh, that's so fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was no good. Another stupid one that I just thought of. It was Dr. Ken, and I can't for the life of me remember
Jeremy Piven.
Oh my God!
Promote Summerfest.
Yeah, Summerfest. They're promoting Summerfest.
One of the classic lines of all time. Summerfest.
Yeah, the Summerfest. I can't remember why I'm out here. And he deadlifted, well, he didn't, but John Cena was forced to pick him up, and he didn't jump at all.
And he landed on his, he wrestled him out of the ring, and guys caught him, but he landed, and he hit his head, like, on the floor.
Yeah.
That was so
awful. Oh, what a train wreck. It was
so awful. You wanted to see something bad to happen to him. You know?
Yeah. Instant heat. You just hated it. John Cena, please kill him.
You think he would have translated better because he was awesome in Entourage as far as like cutting promos and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget when he said, we were talking about the Summerfest. They were building up the SummerSlam. That was just, like one of the things that got in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to interrupt the show because we have, we have our second guest of the night calling in. And Trina, are you there?
I'm here. What's up, guys?
Wow.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Trina.
Hello? So,
what's
going on?
I got shitty reception. I'm sorry, guys. What's up?
Oh, no problem. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, what's going on, Trina? I know you're in town tonight, and you got a show coming up tomorrow, so I'll go ahead and let you plug the show tomorrow.
Yes. I will be at RCW Wrestling. Starts at bell time is 8 p.m. at the Aztec Indoor Soccer Arena. So, yep. Come see me.
Now, who are you working with on this one? I believe you're working with your illegitimate son or something.
yes. I am Mitch Baxter's hot mom tomorrow, so.
Cool. And the last time you were here in town, you worked with Shelly Martinez, and you had a big cat fight on the show. How did all that go?
Oh, yes. I got my ass kicked. But it was actually still a really good match, so.
Yeah, that was cool. And that was also cool because we also had those, like, RCW kind of sponsored a big dinner the night before at a fancy hotel. And I think a lot of, like, indies should maybe, like, when they bring in somebody famous, should think about doing this because I thought it was actually pretty cool. It was a nice, like, number of people there. And it was, you know, really
cool. It was.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good way to reach out to your friends and, you know, keep them interested in what you're doing, so.
Yeah. And also, like, to promote the show tomorrow, you were on a pretty national-wide morning radio show, the Billy Madison Show. And I know you're here to promote the RCW show, but I think maybe the name RCW came up maybe once, and
they were distracted by my beautiful assets.
Yeah, they pretty much spent 40 minutes trying to convince you to take off your top.
Yes, they did.
And then it was pretty funny because somebody called in and actually mentioned the name of the rival San Antonio wrestling company, Seth Faraway.
Yeah, they said something. I don't even know what they said, and I'm like, you mean RCW?
Yeah, that was pretty funny, but it was pretty entertaining. How did you enjoy all that? Because I know you're kind of shy, so I'm sure.
it's funny. You wouldn't think that I'm shy, but I am totally like a little shy, quiet person in the corner. No, it was cool. I haven't done a studio radio in a while, so it was kind of cool.
Cool. And
those guys are fools. They're crack up.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
I recently heard Velvet Sky talking about a creepy fan incident she had where a girl, right before the picture was taken, the girl licked her face. So she actually had a fan lick her face as the camera was going up. And I would imagine that a girl like yourself attracts some strange characters. have you ever had an experience with a fan that you'd like to share with us? Something strange or weird?
Oh, Lord. About the only thing that comes to mind is one of my dance gigs. I had somebody try to lick my feet, which I am not a foot person. That freaks me out, so.
So what did you kick the guy in the face?
Yeah. So, no, my foot is like, here you go, buddy.
That's funny. I've seen a video where I'm not sure who you were out there with, but I it's a video where a fan had something very unpleasant to say to you, and you got right into this kid's face and just like scared the living shit out of him.
I don't know if it's the one you're referring to, but I do have a video on my YouTube page where I'm like inches away from this little kid's face, like screaming at him. He was probably like 10 years old, but him and his buddies were throwing stuff at me, and I think they hit me in the head or something like that. But I just turned around, like went off on him, and then when I turned back around towards the ring, I felt so bad. I was trying not to laugh. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But besides RCW, you've actually been working quite a bit lately. If I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. you've been doing FIP and Dragon Gate and Evolve, and didn't you also go to Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I had a show in Puerto Rico earlier this year. Hopefully get back there again. And then, yeah, like you said, been doing things with Dragon Gate and Evolve, and then getting on some of the indies out in Florida, so.
Now, for people who don't watch Dragon Gate or Evolve, I know you're part of a stable. Could you tell us who's in the stable and a little bit about the group?
For DG and Evolve, I work with Larry Dallas and the Scene. So, yes.
You have the best entrance with the Scene. My goodness.
Right, the Eiffel Tower. Yep.
My.
I think he kind of even made the front page.
What was
page.
Fun was when me and Buggy did the Eiffel Tower to Larry. Now that was hilarious.
And I think you guys make the front page of Wrestling Observer like for like a day or two.
Yeah. It was cool. Me, Larry, Caleb Conley, and Scott Reed.
Now I think I was reading your Twitter, and it seemed like you had a complicated trip here to get to San Antonio. Why did you have to take like a train?
Oh, well, because I live in Miami, but I had to go up to Orlando. long story.
So was Brandon being cheap and went for the cheaper airfare out of Orlando?
I'm sorry?
I said, was Brandon being cheap and just went for the cheaper airfare out of Orlando?
Oh, no, not at all, not at all. It's some personal reasons.
Oh, okay. And, speaking of Brandon, I'll be at the show tomorrow, so I'm hoping to talk to Brandon. It's been a while since I've seen him. He's always been a cool guy. And,
yes.
And speaking of RCW, and, you know, like to say, you've been coming a lot, you've been working a lot. What are some of your other upcoming dates, if you have any?
What else do I have? I got a couple things back in Florida the rest of this month. I have Vintage Pro Wrestling in Orlando, well, Sanford, to be technical. I have that actually next Saturday. And then on the 29th, I will be doing NWA Ring Warriors down in Fort Lauderdale. And then October, I think the dates are the 12th and 13th. FIP will be doing a double shot in Florida. So.
Cool, cool.
There you go.
I'm glad you've been working quite a bit lately. You know, it's pretty awesome. I mean, you're by far the most talented woman that's not in the WWE, and you're by far more talented than a lot of people there.
You're just biased, I know.
Well, I'm not the only one. I remember a while back, Dave Meltzer actually said you were the best woman promo in all of wrestling, and that's actually a pretty big phrase.
Thanks. I try.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm sure you have a busy night, so I really appreciate you taking the time to come on. And
I love you guys.
Oh, yeah. And hopefully I'll be seeing you either Monday or Tuesday.
Well, tomorrow, of course, and then.
Oh, yeah, and tomorrow. But yeah, it's always a fun time for me when you're in town. So, I like I say, I really appreciate it, you coming on. So, we'll go ahead and let you get back to your night. But, yeah, I'd like to say thank you for coming on, and best of luck tomorrow and all that.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Well, you guys have a good rest of your night, too.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She's very hot. She's extremely hot.
Yeah.
And I can't blame those guys for trying to get her to take off her top for 40 minutes.
But
she's a sweetheart. She's like the sweetest girl. I mean, it's funny because the guys that were on that radio show, that I guess they had to notion that she'd just be crazy and wild, and they were actually kind of shocked that she was kind of shy, and it took her had to work their ass off for her to finally take her top off. But she's super cool. And we got a few minutes to go, so I wanted to bring up, because I thought that he was awesome, and Antonio kind of had brought him up a little earlier, and that is Kevin Federline, K-Fed. He was the greatest heel ever as far as celebrities. And, he was great. And also, as far as, like, being the greatest heel, the greatest, like, actually a face as far as celebrity, because he actually, you would have thought he's been a 20-year veteran of pro wrestling. And that was the Wolverine. The Wolverine was fucking awesome. The way he looked to the crowd, looked around before he jacked up. I forgot who he even jacked up, but yeah, Hugh Jackman. Yeah, the Wolverine. And him and Kevin Federline, as far as like best heel, Kevin Federline, best face, the Wolverine.
I'll agree with that. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. We've got like 6 minutes left, but there's a ton of stuff we didn't get to. Vanna White, the San Diego Chicken,
Pete Rose,
Mary Hart, Larry King, Kim Kardashian, my goodness,
The Muppets,
Cy Sperling,
the Muppets were awesome.
George Steinbrenner, Alex Trebek,
Regis Philbin, he was always very good.
Yeah, he was. he always had the wrestlers on his show as well.
Yeah. What's the guy from the Family Feud? Ray Combs. He was on there a few times.
Mm-hmm. One of the worst things I've ever seen in my life, the Miller Lite Catfight Girls from WrestleMania 19.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was no good. I was there live, everyone. That's my mania from my hometown.
That's who
they were
hot.
They were hot and they pulled Sandstorm.
Yeah.
You know, I actually sent Lance a hey, Lance, we're doing, you know, celebrities in wrestling. Who's your favorite? Who do you hate it the most? And he was typical Lance Storm, Mr. No Fun. I really don't have an opinion, and I forgot what else. Oh, I was talking about a performance, not getting to know him. He was, he just, you know, didn't have an answer. And it's like, you know why? Because he's bitter. He's bitter that he got bumped by the Miller Catfight girls, and he's bitter to all celebrities because of it, and he's tainted forever because he was bumped from his WrestleMania paycheck for the Miller Lite girls.
Let's be honest, he was Lance Storm. He wasn't going to be on the show anyway. So.
Oh, come on, man. That's not fair. throw out the plug, Diddy.
Okay. You can always check out our show at angrymarks.com and with a whole lot of other shows at angrymarks.com. And you can also check out shows at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrera and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or at Ed in San Antonio. And, yeah, so follow me there, and you can find out how my date with Trina went.
It's not a date. All right, you can check me out on Twitter. Follow me for all the wrestling and music-related stuff. I do all that on Twitter. That is at Proper Jam. That's my last name, P-R-O-P-E-R, Jam. And got some good photos up there. I got to see Mike McCready and his first band when he was 18 years old in 1983, his band Shadow. Saw them playing a little record store this last week and had a ball. So got some pictures up of that. And, yeah, that's about it. So follow me there. And everybody have a great weekend. Cotrera?
You can go to youtube.com/Cotrera. Got a YouTube channel up there. Got a bunch of old wrestling added. Some more episodes of Memphis from 1986 that everybody should go and check out. There's one where, remember the Mod Squad, Ed?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
They were like the two cops or something.
they were like a double team a little bit in WCW.
Yeah, and they had this, well, in Memphis, they got this manager called J.D. Costello, and he came out the other day and on the show, and he and Lawler got into it, and he slaps Lawler in the face, and then Lawler chases him into the ring, and like they used to do to all the managers back then, they pulled his pants off, and he was wearing women's undergarments. Like the fishnet stockings and stuff. It was pretty funny. Then they grew fire on Jerry Lawler and got him suspended.
And if you want to hear more about our guests or things that they're up to, you can always follow Antonio Thomas at Twitter at Thomas Thomas, and you can follow Trina Michaels at Trina316. That's her wrestling Twitter, and I think her other Twitter's Trina Michaels. So you can check them out and get more information on what they're. What's that?
She's on Facebook at Trina Mania. If you want to follow her there.
Yeah, I saw that on my like little newsfeed thing, the little scroller. It said Trina Mania is now friends with Greg Popper one time. I was like,
anyway.
I thought that was funny. Mr. Godly Man requesting a friendship.
Whatever you do, don't problem. Google image her.
Make sure you have your safety off, though, if you do.
Oh, okay. That's where you do it.
Yeah. And luckily, I haven't had any fucking teenage Middle Eastern kids trying to message me anymore about trying to hook them up with Trina like I did that one time. That was weird.
Well, she was just on again, so let the games begin.
Well, you had a marriage contact?
That's a little kid trying to. He wanted me to give him her number or this, how to get mm-hmm. hold of her. And all these different things just kept bugging me. He wasn't even like a friend of mine or anything. He was just messaging me. I don't even know what the hell. I guess maybe I put a link to the show on her wall and he saw that. But yeah, he was
there you go. There you go.
I mean,
people on the internet are weird. Well, make sure you do that again.
But like I say, we probably didn't get through like a fucking tenth of the celebrities. So maybe in the future, we won't make it like next week or anything. We will maybe come back to this topic again. And things coming up, it looks very good that we have on the 20th, we should be having Straight from the G1 Climax, Lance Archer, who had an awesome showing and doing great in Japan. So hopefully he will be on the show on the 20th, hopefully. And, you know, maybe we'll get some other guests on the coming.
Oh, dude. I was so excited this week. I exchanged 3 emails with the One Man Gang, and I was so geeked out. Yeah, I know. But after we exchanged about 3 or 4 emails, and I don't know if I creeped him out because I just basically said I've enjoyed your work all of my life, you know, this and that and the other thing, and he said, well, I respectfully declined to come on the show. And my little heart broke.
Wow.
You got turned down by a game, the African Dream.
Right.
Frank,
oh, by the way.
You can act like a weirdo when you're trying to get a guest on the show.
We just had a porn star on the show that you booked. And you're the biggest weirdo I know. Just saying. Play the music. Let's go.
Oh, okay. Well, any parting words, Craig? I guess not. Katrera, any parting words?
No, I bought Iron Man 3 yesterday. I'm going to go watch it.
How'd you buy it yesterday?
That was...
It's on... Xbox gets them like 3 weeks to a month early. The releases.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I'll check my iTunes. All right, cool.
Cool. Well, we will talk to everyone next week, and maybe you will hear details of my day with me and Trina.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the master and shit! Let's go hook him up! Tonight.